in the limelight.
The anti-immigrant sentiments stoked by pro-Brexit forces are becoming increasingly palpable on the streets of London. They have led to a documented rise in racist violence throughout the UK, says Sasha Abramsky, freelance journalist and a part-time lecturer at the University of California, Davis, in an article titled, "Anti-Immigrant Nationalism is Poisoning the Streets of London." Stay tuned for the details, please. The anti-immigrant sentiments stoked by pro-Brexit forces are becoming increasingly palpable on the streets of London. They have led to a documented rise in racist violence throughout the UK, but they are also showing up in more mundane and subtle ways, such as at neighbourhood grocery stores. In the streets of London, newspaper stands are filled with tabloids blaring anti-immigrant headlines. London is, of course, not about to become monocultural. The city with more than 10 million residents is still bustling and vibrantly diverse. But the casual jingoism one sees even on London's street and in its stores is a warning of just how closed in and inward-looking Britain as a whole could become as it casts adrift from the European Union. And as British Prime Minister Boris Johnson seeks to consolidate the political support that older pro-Brexit voters gave his party in December's general election. This Wednesday, Johnson's Home Secretary, Priti Patel, unveiled the government's post-Brexit immigration plan. In essence, it seeks to impose a rigid points-based system. Under the new plan, in an abrupt change from the current policy, most EU immigrants will be denied the right to live and work in Britain, as will most lower-income, low-skilled, non-EU visa applicants. To qualify, they will have to reach a certain number of points, acquired through a combination of proving they speak English, having higher education qualifications, and having a waiting job offer that pays a middle-class wage. In essence, Johnson, like Trump in the US, is allegedly seeking to recast his country as a magnet for professionals with a specialized scientific and business and medical knowledge from poorer countries, while explicitly locking out those countries' poor and working classes from their regular immigration routes. Johnson hasn't, at least as of yet, followed Trump to the extreme measure of excluding asylum seekers and refugees, but he is clearly treading a similar path. Johnson appears to be gambling that this combination of tough immigration controls and an emphasis on a romanticized British or English nationalism will appeal both to the older and wealthier voters who traditionally back the Conservative Party, as well as to working-class voters who previously voted Labour, but who felt that mass unrestricted immigration was driving wages downward. It's that combination, in some ways similar to Trump's 2016 coalition of angry white working-class and rural voters who have felt disempowered for decades, along with affluent subordinates interested more in tax cuts and deregulation, that led to Brexit And it's that combination that reshaped the British electoral map in the December elections, giving Johnson a huge parliamentary majority that for the next 5 years means he can pass pretty much whatever legislation he wants. While in theory, sectors of the London economy with workers' shortages would be able to get exemptions under the government's immigration proposal, in practice, such a system is likely to result in a huge shortage of workers in the healthcare and home care systems, in hotels and restaurants, in farming, and in other areas that over the last few decades have come to rely on a steady influx of immigrants. That inflow of workers has long made the UK one of Europe's most dynamic economies. For months now, many business organizations have come out against the implementation of such a system. And in the wake of Home Secretary Patel's announcement, groups such as the Federation of Small Businesses have warned such a plan, if implemented, could devastate parts of the UK's economy. The government's own estimates are that upward of 70% of arrivals from the EU into the UK since 2004 would not have qualified under the new immigration system. Patel admitted that under these new rules, her own parents would likely not have been able to migrate to the UK and to reinvest the future they were able to offer their children. There is something entirely depressing about the inward turn the UK is taking. At a moment when the country's long history of tolerance and of openness to immigrants is particularly needed as a shining light, the country is instead battening down its hatches. A day after Patel unveiled her proposals, a far-right gunman shot dead 9 people in shisha bars in an immigrant neighborhood of the town of Hanoi, Germany, on Wednesday. That same day, Trump announced that his new director of national intelligence would be Richard Grenell, who, as ambassador to Germany, aroused his host's wrath 2 years ago when he said he wanted to empower Europe's right. That right is increasingly empowered, and the results are as ugly as they are predictable. Authoritarian governments in one Eastern European country after the next, extremist parties on the rise in Germany, France, and elsewhere, the Italian government's vicious treatment of asylum seekers and refugees, and so on. At previous moments of global authoritarianism, of swings rightward both in the halls of power and on the streets of cities, the UK has generally resisted following such path. These days, however, Brexit Britain is joining the stampede. The end result will be a smaller, nastier, less tolerant societal vision.